Chapter 26. The Gathering. The limo arrived in the warehouse district, located in what once was the thriving center of the city. Extraordinary in their day, the tall, now gutted brick buildings had a history filled with competing businesses, factories, and living spaces. They exited the limo. Veronica stayed close to Celine, following her to the front door, guarded by two large male bodyguards dressed in long black robes with expressionless masks. The masks resembled the legendary Moai, frozen forever but still guarding their sacred space. When Sylvanas reached the door, one of the bodyguards greeted him by name. However, they stood still with no intention of moving aside. Celine looked to Sylvanas, who smirked. "Out of my way," she demanded. The bodyguards remained in their position. "Kai gave strict orders bearing you from his gathering, ma'am." "You heard her," Sylvanas interrupted the bodyguard. "And I suggest you listen to her and step aside." "I'm sorry, sir, but we have to follow Kai's orders." Celine easily pushed the bodyguards aside, showing her brute strength. "Tell him I don't listen to his orders, especially when they come from the mouths of human bodyguards." Veronica waited for the bodyguards' reactions, but they did nothing. They stared as Celine pushed open the front door and proceeded inside. "After you," Sylvanas said chivalrously to her. They walked ahead, seeing a flight of stairs leading to a lower level. They reached the bottom platform, and two more human bodyguards, also wearing masks, stood in front of another door. They didn't question Celine, nor did they say anything. They voluntarily stepped aside and opened the door, allowing them to walk through. Bright flashing lights blinded them, giving Veronica only seconds to adjust her eyes. The room, filled with demons socializing and loud thumping music, filled the once gutted-out space in the basement of the building. The smell of dampness, clove cigarettes, and cologne filled the air. Bright purple, white, and red couches packed with seated demon, dressed extravagantly, lined the peeled and chipped paint walls. Chandeliers and numerous disco balls hung from the ceiling, along with flashing strobe lights. The packed dance floor soon filled with the onset of a new song.
"Well, this is a change," Sylvanas spoke.
"This is his doing," Celine muttered.
"Oh, live a little, Celine. You can at least pretend to fit in."
"I don't want to pretend," she replied, her voice filled with anger.
They walked through the crowd. Veronica made every effort to stay as close to them as possible. They approached a long table, covered in black satin, positioned on a black stage. Two chalices sat on the opposite ends of the table, and she saw three huge wooden chairs decorated with blue, red, and black jewels. One chair, bigger than the rest, caught Veronica's attention. Veronica froze in her steps, horrified at what she saw ahead of her. A grotesque setup of five naked men hung a couple of feet in the air over a huge cauldron. A rope fastened to a large metal hook was wrapped around their wrists. Around the cauldron, five more naked female victims with their mouths gagged and their wrists tied sat on the floor. Veronica covered her mouth in shock and turned away, hearing their muffled cries and moans. A part of her wanted to run, to find help. She forced her body to turn back around.
"Stay calm," Celine whispered to her.
Her suggestion seemed ill. She couldn't understand how she could remain calm while staring at something this barbaric. She wanted to help, but she couldn't risk it. She wiped her face, clearing out any hint that was distressing, and she placed the victims out of her mind.
A demon woman and a man, holding hands, approached Celine.
"What a nice specimen."
The woman's eyes danced at Veronica's appearance.
"Is she yours for the evening, or are you going to share?"
Veronica moved behind Celine in an attempt to hide her from the demon's prying eyes. Celine's eyes fiercely locked onto the two demon.
"Choose your words wisely."
The couple looked at each other, and the male laughed.
"Excuse us, then. You could have just said no."
Celine immediately reached out, grabbing the male by his neck. In a quick blur, Sylvanas jumped onto the female. Veronica found their accelerated speed to be confounding and horrid, something she could never get used to. Sylvanas had the female by the neck, and he pinned her to the floor. She hissed and squirmed, showing sharp Ramanga fangs, which protruded in a wrathful angle.
Celine also had the male pinned to the ground.
"I am Celine, offspring of Lucius, and an ancient. You demons show no respect."
The male retracted his fangs and his eyes widened.
"And I am Sylvanas, offspring of Honora, and also an ancient. But I don't really care about your respect."
He released the female, who crawled away. Celine also released her victim.
"These young demon have no shame."
Their act went unnoticed.
"You aren't hungry?" Sylvanas asked her.
"No,"
she answered calmly. Veronica felt herself wanting to vomit.
"Did you have to do that?"
Sylvanas smiled.
"They need to know their place."
"And his scent was all around them," a voice behind them stated. They turned around to see Lambert dressed in a bright white dress suit and black silk tie, with polished shoes that gleamed under the falsified lights. His appearance rocked Veronica, who'd thought she'd seen the last of him when she left Dark Sepulchre a while ago.
"They smelled like Kai." Lambert looked at Veronica. "I'm happy that you were able to make it." He held a chalice in his hand.
"What are you doing here?" she asked, straightening her posture.
"I invited him," Celine answered. She stepped closer to Lambert. She was taller than him, yet her presence did little to intimidate him.
He smiled, unbothered by her threatening stares.
"Yes, I wouldn't miss this for the world."
Sylvanas held out his hand to Lambert.
"We haven't formally been introduced, vampire."
"Antonig is no different."
Lambert turned around and walked away.
He walked out to the stage and stood in front of the long table.
They followed him cautiously, and Sylvanas walked around the table, examining one of the two chalices on it. He slowly seated himself in a chair and peered into the chalice, smiling.
"Very comfy," he said, squirming around in the chair.
He looked up to the dance floor.
"This is a nice view, but this is a better view."
Lambert pointed to the cauldron spectacle Veronica saw earlier. Sylvanas looked at the human victims.
"I have to agree with you. That is a better view."
He picked up his chalice in rejoice and placed it back on the table. Veronica turned around, staring at the crowds of demon enjoying their environment. She sensed Celine's agitation. To Celine, this wasn't what the demon were about. The modern, out-in-the-open, careless environment wasn't what the older demon like Lucius, Sylvanas, and Celine wanted.
"I didn't invite you here to gloat about the best views, Lambert." She placed her hands on her hips.
"Yes, yes," he waved her worries away with a flick of his wrist.
"My vampires are waiting outside for my command. All you have to do is tell me when."
The music died down and the crowd began to hush.
"Come with me."
Celine gripped Veronica by her arm and she led her off the stage and to the side, with Sylvanas following behind them. It grew quiet in the large room. The human victims silenced their cries. Suddenly, a door creaked open from the far back of the room and footsteps approached the crowd in an eerie silence.
Throughout the crowd, the name Kai floated in the air like an arcane name. Veronica looked at Celine, who remained stern and unmoved by the crowd's actions. She unfolded her arms and began to rub her fingers into her sweaty palms. A weird image of what Kai looked like flashed in her mind. He had to be tall, broody, and unafraid.
He had to have a stare that could gaze through her soul. She heard the faint footsteps coming from behind the stage as she turned to look at the demon who last saw her mother alive.
A man of average stature casually walked toward the table. He wasn't lavishly dressed like many of his attendees. Instead, he wore a black leather jacket with blue jeans and a faded white shirt. His greasy brown hair was slicked back, his jaw round, and his sunken eyes accentuated his prominent brow. He held a half-smoked cigarette in one hand and a can of beer in the other. His appearance caught everyone by surprise, even Celine, who remained still yet alert. Kay didn't represent the image of someone who could take down Lucius.
Pai didn't represent the image of someone who could take down Lucius.
He looked assimilated into human culture and society, like an anti-demon representation. He inhaled his cigarette and took a sip from his beer. He gulped the last of it and crunched the can, tossing it over his shoulder. The clinking noise of it hitting the floor acted like the bell, beginning round one, in what was to be the fight for control of the city.
Kai raised his hands, and everyone in the room went quiet. His display of control was unfathomable. "Welcome," he said in a loud, commanding voice.
The crowd repeated their welcome back to him. He glanced at everyone in the room before he climbed the stairs onto the stage. He slowly walked over to the jeweled chair, and he sat, kicking his feet onto the table. He inhaled and flicked the ash of his cigarette onto the floor.
"I have to find better bodyguards." His steel-cold eyes turned to Celine and Sylvanas. "And you brought that?" He pointed at Veronica. She felt the piercing glare of the crowd and slightly turned her head to look, nervous that at any moment a demon would rush from the crowd to attack her.
"It's been decades, Kai," Celine said.
"Not long enough," he replied back. "Why are you here anyway? I don't remember inviting you."
The eerie silence of the crowd became more uncomfortable by the minute. Veronica gulped and closed her eyes. She felt the tingling sensation start in her head, and she immediately reopened her mind. He tried to read her. This time, she had no intention of hiding her thoughts from anyone.
"You know what happened to my mother, you son of a bitch," she lashed out at him. The burning sensation stopped, and he cocked his head to the side with a defiant smirk on his face. He leaned back in his chair, with his eyes locked onto Veronica.
"Silence your minion, Celine."
"I'm not her minion." Veronica wasn't ready to silence herself. Kai flicked the cigarette toward her. Suddenly, the crowd began to mumble, and a voice within the crowd spoke out. "Kill her!" The mumbling continued, growing louder. Kai raised his hands for quiet.
"No one touches her."
A white grin appeared on his face. "She's mine."
"She's protected,"
Celine bellowed. Kai laughed.
"In my city, I determine who's protected and who's not."
He raised his chalice to the crowd and they cheered.
"I don't give a flying fuck about your protection."
He turned his head slightly to the right, glaring at Sylvanas.
"You think bringing another ancient?"
He then looked to Lambert.
"And a vampire here to plot against me would actually work? I own this city and every demon in it."
"Lucius is head demon in Minneapolis,"
Selim replied. "Not you."
"And where is our beloved sire?"
He jokingly looked around the room.
"He isn't here."
"Oh yeah, that's right. He's dead." The demon in the crowd laughed at his comment.
"You never were the brightest one, Kai,"
Celine responded.
"True, but I was his favorite."
He clapped his hands.
From the back of the stage, two scantily dressed females appeared. They rushed to his aid, removing the chalices from the table. These minions hurried over to the cauldron and dipped the chalices in the blood collecting below the human bodies.
"But before I allow my followers to tear you both apart slowly,"
He stood up from his seat. You'll watch me torture, maim, and kill your human. He then raised his chalice in the air. A toast! Everyone in the crowd raised their chalices in the air. To our species, to our survival, let no one, human, vampire, or ancient, stand in our way. They devoured their drinks from the chalices in unison. Kai wiped a small trickle of blood from the corner of his mouth and smiled wickedly. His eyes flickered and he dropped his chalice. Now. He opened his eyes and his pupils disappeared and his eyes turned stark black. It's time to eat. I'm declaring a decretum against you and your followers, Celine stated loudly. Again, the crowd laughed. This is my city, Celine, Kai replied back, and these demon are my brothers and sisters. He held his arms out to the crowd in response to the crowd's cheering. We're tired of ancients telling us what to do. We're tired of rules and laws. The only way you could get rid of Lucius was to ban him with dark magic, Celine said forcefully. Kai noncarily shrugged. So fucking what? He replied. Killer! A female voice from the crowd blurted out. In time, brothers and sisters, Kai waved. Lucius loved you like a father loves his son. Celine stepped forward, trying to keep a dialogue going. And you repay him back by betraying him? His mistake. Kai mused as he picked at his fingernails in deviance and utter disrespect. Veronica clearly saw the problem that Celine, Sylvanas, and even Lambert saw in Kai.
How could Lucius sire someone as defiant as that? He didn't care about anyone but himself. While he assimilated himself into human society, he managed to perfect what the demon were truly like. The demon in the crowd, Ramanga, Metuzba, Lamia, and Lugat latched onto every word that came from his mouth. He was their god.
He looked at Celine. You didn't even exist until you came rolling into my city. He looked back at the crowd. Ask them. You don't exist, but I do. I exist.
Yeah, you're really famous, Veronica said in a sarcastic tone. You're the child who wasn't strong enough to kill your own sire.
She can't protect you from me, human. No one can, Kai said in a lowered voice.
He clapped his hands again, and the front door behind the crowd opened. A trail of naked humans entered, walking in a single line toward the stage. Their wrists were tied together with rope, and they each wore a dog chain around their neck that kept them connected to one another. They passed through the slithering crowd, and when they reached the stage, they stopped and turned around. They treated humans like cattle, being led to slaughter. Just pieces of meat chained together like wild animals.
The sight didn't bother Celine, nor did it bother anyone in the venue, besides Veronica. A massive, curdling scream came from Kai's mouth, and the crowd moved in unison toward the innocent victims to devour. It's time to feast! He yelled out to the crowd. He then pointed to Celine. Kill her and the ancient. Leave the vampire and the human for me.
Just then the front door opened unexpectedly. Everyone turned around and watched the body of one of the bouncers fall, landing in the doorway.
No one said anything, and Kai, confused about the cause of the commotion, walked around the table to get a better look.
His eyes slowly bulged and he remained dazed, watching Lucius slowly walk through the door. Veronica saw that Lucius now looked fully re-energized. He wore a long blue shirt and black jeans. He swiped back his hair. His eyes were solid black. Veronica turned to look at Sylvanas and Celine. Their eyes danced at the sight of him. The assault was about to begin.
Now, Lambert, Celine called out.
Sylvanas jumped onto the stage, and he pushed the long table forward. It slid across the stage, stopping only inches from the front of the crowd. The chalices flew across the floor, and many in the front of the crowd jumped, caught off guard by the sudden movement.
Kill them!
Kai screamed. Kill them all!
For seconds, no one in the room moved at the sight of Lucius.
Veronica then felt Celine's hand wrapped around her wrist, and in moments she found herself in the corner of the room. Stay hidden, she whispered to her.
Veronica nodded, mute and dumbfounded. Celine ran back into the crowd. In the distance, Veronica saw Lucius, cutting through the horde in ease, slashing whoever stood in his way. He paid little attention to the chained humans huddled together on the floor. The windows shattered as several vampires jumped through the broken glass and began to attack the demon crowd.
Celine moved toward Kai, but he proved to be just as fast.
They blurred together as they fought, smashing against the table and chairs around them. Sylvanas moved in, but a female demon lunged at him, stopping his attack. He wrapped his hand around her neck and twisted with force, detaching her head from her body. A brief gust of wind blew Veronica back. She covered her eyes for a moment. Suddenly, she felt cold hands wrap around her neck. A male demon pushed her to the ground. She opened her mouth to scream, but he immediately placed his mouth over her own, and he began to feed. The man suddenly jerked and let go, glancing at a piece of wood sticking out from his chest. Anastasia stood behind him. She pushed the demon to the side and helped Veronica to her feet.
Alamia, she said in a mild-toned voice.
The sound of flesh being ripped open grabbed her attention, and Anastasia quickly turned around to watch. Lucius, covered in blood from head to toe, his hair dripped with clots of blood and dust. A male demon stood on his knees in front of Lucius, begging for his life. In response, Lucius raised his right arm slowly and swiped with his nails across the demon's throat. Another man tried to run past Lucius, but he was caught and killed within seconds. Lucius opened his mouth and screamed. The high-pitched echo vibrated and drowned out the screams coming from the other demon in the room. It shook the window panes and made the disco balls sway back and forth on the ceiling. It also rattled the chalices on the ground.
Near the back of the room, Veronica saw a group of Kai's followers attempting to dive through the windows to safety.
Those who were still alive ran for the exits, but were cornered off by Lambert's vampires, who guarded the doors. Another daimon dressed in a black tuxedo dropped to his knees in front of Lucius and began to caress his feet. Lucius kicked him aside and continued forward.
Anastasia jumped on stage to join Celine against Kai. Kai quickly darted across the stage, passing Lambert. He jumped over the cauldron, his foot skidding across its edge. The cauldron fell, pouring its bloody contents on the floor. You'll pay for what you did, Kai. Celine launched herself toward him, pushing Kai onto his back. Kai pushed her off, and at demon's speed, he barreled toward the back of the room. Sylvanas followed in pursuit, but stopped unexpectedly. You're letting him escape? Lambert screamed out to him. Sylvanas looked over his shoulder at Lucius. Lucius is letting him escape. You want him to run? Anastasia asked in disbelief while watching Lucius finish off his last victim. The room filled with an eerie silence. Veronica stepped out of the corner to watch Lucius lifting a demon in the air by his throat. A loud crunching sound followed, and the victim's body went limp. He dropped the demon to the floor. Lucius? Anastasia approached him. Why let Kai run?
He held up his hand, and Anastasia immediately stopped her questioning. The chained humans still cowered in their small huddle in the corner, but their presence was ignored. He slowly walked by them, stepping through the pool of blood and up to the stage. The bodies of dying demon were strewn around the room. The smell of blood ravaged the air. Celine examined the long scratches and fight wounds over her forearms and watched them slowly heal.
Why did you stop Sylvanas from catching Kai?
Veronica cautiously took a couple of steps forward and covered her nose and mouth with her hands. She too became curious as to why Lucius would mentally tell Sylvanas to stop his attack. But Lucius didn't speak. He slowly walked along the stage and he looked to the ceiling, then to the back of the room at the remaining vampires who waited for Lambert's command.
It's not always about revenge.
Not yet.
This is revenge, Selim replied, for what he did to you.
Selim. Lucius motioned for her to approach him. She stepped up to him and he placed his hand on the back of her head. Don't carry my hate for me. He then motioned for Anastasia to also approach him. Let us do this for you. Anastasia walked over to him. Lucius shook his head. No, you won't.
Veronica wanted to ask, and she wanted to know what had really happened to her mother, yet she remained afraid. She watched Lucius gently kiss Anastasia on her forehead, followed by Selene. She understood somewhat why her mother researched him. He seemed different than any demon. Besides his age and his attractiveness, he also showed the human trait of compassion. Thoughts about her mother filled her mind, and she didn't bother to block them.
Picking up on these thoughts, he turned to face her. I will speak to her alone.
The vampires left the room, followed by Lambert. Sylvanas disappeared from Veronica's eyesight in an instant. Anastasia hesitated, but also left. Selene bit her lower lip before she walked out of the room.
You look just like your mother. Lucius motioned for her to come up to the stage. Veronica stepped forward, stepping just inches from the stage. She gathered her thoughts and took a deep breath. My mother researched and followed you. She climbed the steps and she walked over to him. Her nose caught the iron scent of blood still dripping from his clothing. I remember your mother. What happened to her? She felt her eyes beginning to tear and she looked away for a moment. She didn't want him to see her crying. I will show you. He placed his arms on her shoulders.
She felt her head beginning to tingle, and before she could stop him from piercing her thoughts, it was too late. She braced herself for the pain, but it never came. She then heard his voice in her mind.
I loved your mother. Love? A demon couldn't love. Impossible. Yet she wanted to know more. What happened to her? She thought.
He opened his mind, and she began to see his thoughts and memories. They were brief and skipped frantically from scene to scene. Veronica saw her mother smiling and laughing. The scene changed, and she now saw her mother standing on the shores of the Mississippi River, the moonlight glistening off the dark waters. It changed again. She saw her from a distance, the same way Lucius saw her, cautiously walking alone down a dark alleyway. Veronica sensed her panic, and she smelled her lilac perfume. Something or someone was following her. Suddenly, Lucius stood behind her mother and placed his hand on her shoulder. She turned around and whispered his name. He lifted her in his arms, staring into her eyes and wiped the sweat from her forehead. A sense of compassion overcame him, and he stood silent and confused. For the first time in centuries, he was beginning to love again. He fed her and made it quick and painless as possible. When she was barely on the edge of death, he cut himself on his forearm, and he placed his wound close to her mouth. He then dragged her further into an alley and placed her body on the wet concrete, watching his blood beginning to turn her. But something happened. He grew weak, and Veronica felt it. His senses grew numb, and he failed to detect them as they came from all sides, behind, in front, and above. He struggled against them, but the humans dressed in black trench coats managed to hold him down. Their smell was strong and reeked of the Brotherhood. They were there to take him, but they didn't expect Veronica's mother to be in the alley with him.
Kai stood over her, glancing at Lucius's new creation. His hair was much longer then. He mocked his sire, and he leaned over Veronica's mother and gently placed his mouth over her own.
Veronica pushed herself away from Lucius's thoughts. She took a step back, leaning against the wall for support. She didn't want him to continue. She didn't want to see any more. She knew what happened next. Her eyes slowly filled with tears, and she felt her feet falter under her. She couldn't comprehend that Lucius had tried to sire her own mother. She feared her mother lost everything that made her human, especially the ability to love.
Veronica as her own flesh and blood, but Kai made sure there was no time for that. He killed her right there, in that alley. They both killed her. They were all responsible.
"You both killed her," she cried, holding her face in her hands. She felt his thoughts pushing again, but she turned her head. Nothing he could say or show would make up for what they both did.
Her mother was gone, truly gone. Veronica held her head low in silence.